Well, we have another interesting guest, someone you'll enjoy meeting, we know, with us today on Memories and Music. And what is your name, sir?
Arnold Budd.
And when did you retire from Inco, Arnold?
The last day I worked for the company was on the last day of April, 1974.
Well, that's you got that one all figured out, eh? After how many years?
38 and a half years.
What type of work were you doing when you retired, Arnold?
I was in charge of the welding shop and the blacksmith shop and the carpet of central shops.
Right. Well, I know that you were well known in the area of curling and other activities and so on, but we want to try to get some of your early story. Mr. Boyd, everybody has a story. That's what they claim. So, where are you from? Let's start at the beginning. Where's your hometown?
I was born in Levant, Ontario, which is a small community about 70 miles west of Ottawa.
Now, we talked about it before. Where would a name like Levant come from?
I think it was derived from the fact that the village is right at the foot of a rather large hill. At home, we called it a mountain, but actually it was only 400 feet high.
Well, that'll do until we get a higher size one, right? So what's Levant got to do with that?
Well, in French, Levant means the front in the English translation.
Levant, eh? Levant. Oh, well, those better, but just one of those little sidelights, eh? Well, how did you come to be born there, apart from the fact your mother was there? Tell us about your father.
Well, my father was employed by the CPR as agent at Levant, and...
Was Levant a sort of a CPR town then?
Well, its main industry was lumbering, and all the timber was shipped out from Levant by rail.
How did your... was your father born in that part of the world?
Yes, my father was born about 2 miles from Levant.
And where did his family, his father and mother, come from? That part of the world, too?
Yes, my grandfather was born in Scotland, and my grandmother on my father's side was born in Ireland.
That could be a pretty bad or a pretty explosive combination.
I imagine it was interesting.
I guess it was. So, then your grandfather, was he engaged in lumbering or something around that Levant area?
No, he worked for the CPR.
Oh, this is a real CPR story here, eh? So we got your grandfather with CPR, your father with the CPR.
Right.
And now your mother, she was born where? In that part of the world, too?
Yes,
said?
Yes, she was born in that immediate area.
Did her people work for the CPR?
Yes, my grandfather did for a while, and then he went farming.
Well, maybe we should charge the CPR for a little advertising on this program. Well, now, tell us about what it was like growing up, a boy. I'm saying, what year? When were you born there, Arnold?
I was born in May in 1914.
All right. Now, you wouldn't remember much until about age 5, 6, or 7 or something, but tell us about what it was like being a kid growing up in Levant.
Well, we had to make our own entertainment. There was no such a thing as a theater there or any formal entertainment. In the wintertime, we made a rink. And in the summertime, we swam, played ball. And we had to make do by ourselves.
That sounds great, you know. Would there be other families with kids about your own age and so on?
Yes. There were about 30 kids of my own age.
This almost gets back to Uncle Tom, or at least not Uncle Tom, but Huckleberry Finn or Tom Sawyer or something, though, doesn't it, you know? It's not all that long ago, and yet, in terms of today, that seems like another age altogether, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I can remember when I was quite small, we would plan for a week to make a trip by car to Kingston. It was only a matter of 100 miles.
Right.
It was a major event.
You were telling me that you got started thinking at a pretty early age, and you decided helping your mother cook was easier than splitting wood. Was that true?
Yes, that's right. I was the second oldest in the family, and We all had to dig in and help with a family of nine.
Oh, great. Now, family of nine, eh? How many brothers, how many sisters?
Four brothers and four sisters.
I'll be darned. Well, now, just sort of on that subject, your father died some years ago, is that right?
Yes, he died in 1951.
But your mother is still alive and living where, in Toronto, eh?
Yes, my mother's 83 years old now and in fairly good health.
Yeah, that's great. Going right back to, as we say, to what seems like an almost another era, but you're still around and you see her from time to time, eh?
Yes.
What about your brothers and sisters? What are they doing now?
Well, I have one brother living in Cornwall. He's with the Department of Municipal Affairs. And I have one brother at Levant, who's retired.
Gone back to the old family homestead, as it were, eh?
That's right.
I like that. You don't often hear that, but maybe that happens more than we realize, eh? Do you go back there yourself once in a while?
Oh, yes. My wife and I go back a few times, two or three times every year.
Just to see the old places, eh?
Yeah.
Anybody still around there that you grew up with?
Oh, yes, there are a few people. All the residents in the village are retired now. They've gone back there to spend the rest of their days.
I bet there's some great stories get told around the pot-bellied stove in the wintertime, eh?
Yeah, a lot of reminiscing.
Well, now, speaking of reminiscing, we have you going to school then, eh? At public school in Levant. Now, another thing you told me that I found very interesting was that your father was a telegrapher, and you learned you could do the Morse code before you could read. Is that correct?
That's right. It was just the same as talking to the kids at the house.
Of course, father would do this sort of for fun, eh, to teach the kids. Is that the idea, or?
Well, partly, and it was a ways of communicating between the house and the station. But we had a separate telegraph line from the house to the station.
You said bring home a dozen eggs or something. It wouldn't be that. It would be come home early for dinner or something, eh?
Right.
Now, another thing, you learned the Morse code, right?
Right.
You were saying something about the international code being a little different from the Morse code.
Yes, and the international code is used in wireless transmission, and there are no spaces in the letters same as in the continental Morse code.
Why is that?
I believe it has to do with in the transmission by wireless, the spaces could vary in length and it could jumble their transmission.
Now, I never made a serious attempt to learn the Morse code, although I fooled around with it. Well, what do you learn first? Da-da-da-dit, or what what were your first sentences, like, I see a cat or something?
Well, I can't remember how it started at it. It's quite a long time ago, and...
I'll accept that, but I asked you before, is this something that, do you lose this or do you keep it?
Oh, you got a little rusty at it, but you never forget the code.
You could probably sit down and send out a message, eh?
Well, I could make myself understood.
And probably tune in or figure out what somebody else was saying, eh?
Yes.
Is the Morse code, is it still pretty general, or are we away from that now?
It's not in use as much as formerly. Now with their sophisticated means of communications,
telex and whatever, eh?
Yes, I don't think it's in general use now.
Still, boy, it certainly was our friend, was it Marconi or something that sent the first message across the Atlantic, or am I thinking of something else?
I'm afraid I'm lost on that one.
I'm sure that I was in St. John's and up on Signal Hill, and I think he sent some kind of a message across the Atlantic and was picked up from Ireland or somewhere on Signal Hill in Halifax, or St. John's, Newfoundland. Well, now, do you still see any of the fellows you went to school with, public school with?
Not very often. Most of the ones have moved away from the old
haunts, eh?
Yeah, and Occasionally you run across them, but...
Well, now, what about high school? You went to high school in where?
In Perth. Perth Collegiate.
How did you like high school?
I liked it fine. It was the first time I was ever away from home. It was 35 miles, and we had to stay in town. So it was a little different.
Did you go by yourself, or a brother go with you, or what?
No, I was the only one from the family attending for two of the years.
Did you board somewhere, find a room and board? Or?
Yes.
You know, that sounds funny, interesting, too. You know, going away to high school. You don't get too much of that. I guess you do, too, eh, from smaller communities around?
Well, now I think the trend is to bus them.
Right.
Up in this area, they come for as far as, 75 miles to attend high school in Sudbury.
So right.
From Killarney, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Well, another day. So, what'd you do when you finished high school?
I started to work for the CPR.
Here we go, the good old CPR again, yeah, eh? What were you doing with them?
I served my apprenticeship as a welder, and I worked with...
What got you going as a welder? Did it appeal to you, or did your father recommend it as being a good idea, or what?
Well, at that time, welding was a relatively new trade, and it was interesting to start with.
Oh. So, were you not also... wait a minute, am I going back a bit? During summer holidays, you worked as a cook's helper and a cook or something with CPR, correct?
That's right. Cooked on an extra gang.
You must have had lots of confidence, eh? Cook for some of these big train workers, eh?
Most of the fellows were hungry enough they'd eat anything.
Right. Okay, so then we have you working for the CPR in Levant, right. Starting about what year?
That would be in 1929.
How long did you stay at that?
Until 1935.
What happened in 1935?
We had problems with our equipment, and we were laid off. And I come up to Sudbury and started to work for Inco then.
And as we suggested, by 35, some of the depression was over and things were starting to open up again, right?
Yes, things were a little better around here then.
Who was your first boss back in those days?
John Garrow was the master mechanic, and the shop foreman was Jack Thompson.
Are these fellows still around, or...?
No, they're both deceased.
They're both gone now, eh? Any fellows that you worked with then that started about the same time who might be listening into the show?
Oh, yes, there are a lot of them are still working.
You think of some names, or am I putting you on the spot here?
Oh, I could name dozens of them.
Oh, just name a half a dozen of the fellows that you...
Well, they're... Swanee Finla is retired now and living in the area. They're Peter Topazzini is...
That's a familiar name. I've heard...
Oh, that's the hockey family.
Oh, yes, yes.
Pete's retired, but living in Copper Cliff. I can name a dozen that are still working. Orville Hickey, Hedley Williams, Elio Sancioni, Bill Pacala.
Well, and I hope some of these fellows are listening here, eh?
And I couldn't possibly name them all that are still hanging around.
Were they as good as welders as you, or were you better than them?
No, they were the top in their class.
You're just being careful. All right, fellas, if you hear the show, give Arnold a call. Anyway, at least he gave you a pretty good plug. Now, did you not live with your brother then about this time?
Yes, my brother and I lived together from 35 to 38.
Where did you... You had an apartment or something?
Yes, in 11 Elm Street, Sudbury.
Right down on the main street here, eh?
Yeah, you could look out the window and see the streetcar pulling out.
You must have been quite the young man about town, eh? That would be a pretty good spot. That's, what, near Silverman Store, eh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was this a full-fledged apartment block, or just some apartments in the building, or what?
No, the apartments were in the upper floors. stores in the bottom. The Imperial Bank was right down below the apartment block.
Well, now, what did the young fella do in 1935? Did you play softball?
Oh, yes, we played softball, badminton, and quite a lot of snooker.
A lot of snooker at the old Inco Club, right?
Yeah,
eh?
Right.
How good were you at snooker?
Oh, I could hold my own with most of them.
You don't want to issue a challenge to anybody right now, do you?
Well, I've played quite a lot since then.
Uh-huh.
We, up until two weeks ago, we had a pool table down in our basement in our rec room.
Oh, I see. Everybody better be pretty careful before they...
I got rid of it. I gave it to my grandson 2 weeks ago.
Back in those days, would there be maybe 25 cents or half a dollar in the corner pocket on some of the games?
Oh, yes. Very seldom played for fun.
Funny, you know, seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't all that long ago. Now, something else happened, very interesting, happened around about 1938, involving a young lady. Now, what was the young lady's name?
Betty Ferguson.
Ah, yes, indeed. And where was she from?
Carlton Place.
Now, you told me that you had known Betty from the time she was about 7 years old. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. I used to chum around with her brother. That's how I got to know her.
And was she a pretty cute little 7 and 8 year old?
I was going to say something, but better not. Betty might be listening.
Right. She probably will be, so you can depend on it. So you, then she grew up from a little girl, she became a young lady, and your viewpoint sort of changed, and you started a little dating, eh, right?
That's right.
Where would you go on dates in those days?
Well, we'd go to the odd show or drive into Ottawa, which is only 30 miles away from Carlton, or go over to on the Quebec side of the river to Gatineau Point or Standish Hall or some of the nightclubs.
I remember Standish Hall from the Air Force days, you know that? That was quite a hangout, as I recall it.
Yes, it burnt down a few years ago.
Did it? That's right, I remember. So you and the young lady got married, eh?
Right.
What year was that,
1938?
1938. Did you have a honeymoon?
A very short one.
Where'd you go?
Stayed around the district.
Just around in the area here, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, these are kind of exciting times and busy times, I guess, in 38 and so on, eh? Well, where did you stay? Where was your first home?
An apartment on Durham Street in Sudbury.
Then you moved from there to where?
We moved out to Trout Lake in the Lochaber area, and then to Coppercliff in 1941.
Well, now we've got you married and more or less settled down, but the World War II came along, and you got yourself involved in that, sir, correct?
Yes, I joined the Air Force in 1943.
Well, where were some of your postings?
Well, I started out at Manning Depot in Edmonton, Alberta. From there, I was posted to ITS at Regina, Saskatchewan. Spent some time at DAFO, Saskatchewan. And from there, down to the East Coast, to Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, for navigation training. And back to Mountain View for some additional bombing training. And then Rivers, Manitoba.
Well, at least the Air Force saw to it that you saw a fair amount of Canada, didn't he?
Yes, I made quite a few trips back and forth.
Right. Anybody who might be listening now that you got to know during those years that were friends of yours on any of those bases?
There were very few from around the Sudbury district that were on the same course as I was at that time.
Mm-hmm. Have seen any of them since?
A few. Yes, I have a few fellows that I chummed around with that live in Montreal, and I drop in and see them.
Right. Well, now, the war finished, it's back to Sudbury, Coppercliff.
Yep, back to Coppercliff Smelter.
Smelter, eh? And welding again?
Right.
Now, one thing I didn't ask you, what about Family, what family have you?
I have one son and one daughter.
Oh, where are they and what are they doing now?
Well, Don is living at Alliston, Ontario, and he's a pilot with Air Canada.
Well, now, again, as we were getting ready for the show, I found that interesting. How does a fellow become a pilot for Air Canada?
Don joined the RCAF on completion of high school, and he served there for 10 years, mostly in Europe, as a jet jockey. And when he left there, he went directly to Air Canada. He was a trained jet pilot then.
That's a pretty direct route, too, eh? Come to think of it. Now, you told me also that he joined the Air Force and then came home and told Mom and Pop. Is that right?
That's right. He went down to North Bay and joined the Air Force, and he was over the age of consent. He didn't have to get our permission, but...
he thought that was the right way to handle it, though, eh? Well, that's great. And he's living in Alliston, eh?
Yes.
Great place. I mean, yeah. and a wonderful life as a pilot, I would think.
Yes, the working conditions are good.
Mm-hmm. What routes does he fly? Does he ever fly up here? Or?
Very seldom. For the last few months, he's been working between Toronto and Vancouver.
Well, that's pretty hard to beat, too, you know. It's a long flight. Get up nice and high, put it on automatic pilot, eh?
Yeah. Work 3 days and off four every week.
Not bad. Now, about your daughter, sir. She, that was an interesting story. Tell us about her. What was her name?
Barbara. She's presently teaching at Manitowaj, Ontario, which is back in the bush. It's about 70 miles northwest of White River, which you all know is one of the coldest spots in Ontario.
Nonetheless, you told me that that she'd taken a university course in sociology. It didn't really lead to any work that she wanted to do. She tried teaching, and she liked Manitowaj. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes. When she graduated from McMaster University, she couldn't get a job at all in where her training was of any benefit. So she went to Teachers College and then this is her first year teaching, and she likes it very much, Manitowaj.
That's great, you know. Mm-hmm. Nice to have these things work out. Now, you, sir, are, when you're not shooting snooker, and I warn all you good people that Arnold just got rid of his table here. You're,
Two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, or whatever. You did some curling. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, I started curling in Copper Cliff in the year 46-47.
And that you... then you would win what? You would win the Northern Ontario then, did you, to go to the Briars?
Well, in 1950, we formed a team of Legionnaires, went in the Legion District Bondspiel, and we were fortunate enough to win that, and we thought we'd come up with a winning combination, so we went in the Consul's play down the next year in 1951, and we did very well in that. We became the Northern Ontario representatives in the Briar that year, 1951, and it was held in Halifax.
That's great. Who was on your rink?
Walter Flowers, Bill Mackay, and Walter Johnson was the skip.
Are they still around? Are they listening to the show?
Oh, yes. They're all right in the district. Two of them are still working.
Are they pretty good curlers, or did they miss the big shots?
We didn't miss too many at that time. I'm the only one that's still active in curling, though.
You were telling me that Walter Johnson was the skip, but that you had it worked out that you would throw the last rock.
Yes. We found that it worked fairly well. Walter had a lot more curling experience than I had. He was a much better skip, but he wasn't too fussy about throwing last rocks, so it worked out really well.
I like that. Who beat you in the playdowns? What provinces?
Our first loss was to Don Euler from Nova Scotia, and he went through without a loss. He won the McDonald Briar that year. And one highlight of the playoffs, when we played Newfoundland, it was right at the last of the playoffs, and it didn't mean too much to either team. But we were ahead 15-5. And Tommy Hallett, the skip from Newfoundland, of the Newfoundland team, started telling us stories. And he was a comical fellow. And we ended up losing 16-15. And that was Newfoundland's first win in the Briar.
He was comical and he was pretty smart, too, I guess. that one I had not heard before. Now, now that you've retired, you tell me you do have a little workshop in your basement and do some appliance repairs from time to time, eh?
Tinkering mostly.
And you've done a fair amount of traveling, is that correct, sir?
Yes, my wife and I like traveling. We do a lot of camping, trailering during the summer months, and we usually try to take one trip to other countries or other areas during the year.
Now, you mentioned, I know, that you'd been two things, at least you said, again, as we were getting ready for the show, that you'd been to California. Whereabouts in California?
At Los Angeles, Anaheim.
How did you like it down there?
Fine. We did a little traveling around there. We rented a car, went down to San Diego, down into Mexico, and then up to Las Vegas, and give away a little bit of money, and
I see, just to keep them happy in Las Vegas, I guess. You're talking about going to Vancouver this year, January or February, right?
Yes, I think we'll be going out right after New Year's.
What's it like? Is it raining all through January and February in Vancouver, or do you know? I don't.
No, it rains frequently in January and February, but it doesn't rain continuously.
I just been sort of thinking about a trip along those lines myself, and I haven't been able to. No Vancouverite will tell me the truth about this. I know Vancouver's fine in the summertime, but I wonder, when is the rainy season? You just don't happen to know offhand, eh?
It is this time of year, latter part of December, January, and February.
It rains, eh? But it's warmish rain, they tell me, eh?
Yes.
Well, now, Mr. Boyd, it's been fun talking to you, and it just occurred to me that your mother, whom you mentioned, is 83 years old. We're going to have a cassette made of this broadcast, and you'll be able to play that for her. I bet she'll get a kick out of it.
Yes, I think she'll enjoy it.
Right. Well, Mrs. Boyd, we don't know you, but we send our best to you. But, Mr. Boyd, yourself, seems to me, did I ask you now, have you got anything now, any projects still coming up that you haven't attempted yet? Or?
No, nothing outside of enjoying ourselves and continuing traveling. We plan on getting a new trailer and spending possibly 7 or 8 months on the road with it.
Is this a sort of a pull trailer that you pull behind the car? Or?
Yes.
A thing that I like, sir, also, as we've talked, is that you've traveled a good deal. You've seen even here and there and everything, but Copper Cliff, Sudbury, Northern Ontario, pretty good place to come back to, right?
Oh, yes. Well, we know a lot of people around here, and
people are one of the most important, maybe.
Yeah. After 38 or 40 years, why consider it home?
I think so. Friends, our guest, charming gentleman today, Mr. Arnold Boyd, who retired on May the 1st. Our guest would be actually on April the 30th, that you retired, eh?
It was official on May the 1st.
Official is at 1 minute after midnight on on April the 30th, you retired after 38 and a half years, at which time you were in charge, were you, of the welding and blacksmithing shop?
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Boyd, for coming and being our guest on Memories and Music.
Okay, thank you, Don.